Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit." You may have heard of Albert Schweitzer before. He was an ordained Lutheran minister. He was also a German and French theologian because he spoke both languages very fluently. He was also an accomplished organist, and he could play the great works of Bach on the organ with great dexterity and the like. He was also a noted author. He was also a licensed physician. He even became a surgeon. In 1952, he received the Nobel Prize for Philosophy, largely because it was his efforts that had led to building this great hospital in West Central Africa. In 1965, he was 90 years old when he died. You know, you think, how could so many fantastic gifts and so much knowledge and ability reside with one man? And yet we know it's because the Lord God in his grace and mercy empowered him to be that way. I want you to know that he is the author also of the beautiful words that the choir sang in an anthem just a few moments ago. I heard the choir practicing that last Sunday before the 10:30 liturgy. And I had to go and look it up and do a little research on it. For me, I thought it's one of the most beautiful tunes that I had ever heard. And what the words are all about is the miracle of faith. You know, let's stop and think back in our lives. Of course, many of us were brought to faith and given the gift of faith already when we were infants and we were baptized into the Christian church, into the body of Christ. But aren't there in the life of every believer those moments when maybe you're going through an extremely difficult or trying time, or maybe it's a time when you're experiencing a great deal of elation? Maybe it's when you married and you couldn't believe that other person actually said, "I do," or when your first child was born, or maybe it was in a time of sorrow too. I'll never forget being in my second year of college. My father at that time, who was 50 years old, had had a couple of heart attacks and was going to be one of the first people to receive a heart bypass operation. We traveled to the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio for that, and the operation went amazingly well. But 2 days later, while he was still in intensive care, he went into cardiac arrest. And afterwards, he began to speak to me about, "Paul, you know, you need to do this, you need to know, do that, if I don't come home." But he did get well, and he did come home, and we flew home on the plane. And I'll never forget that as soon as we got into the living room, my mother and I and my two sisters, the pastor showed up at our house. He had a prayer of thanksgiving. And he quoted a scripture verse that I have used in many a prayer with many a people in difficult times across the years of my ministry too. "We thank you, O God, for that wonderful word of promise in Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." You have those moments, don't you, when maybe tears come to your eyes? I'm thinking when we're gathered together on Good Friday, and after the end of the service, we sing that question, "Were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble." And yet our faith is not based on our feelings. There are times when two people are in a marriage, the last thing they have is the feeling. Maybe they're even slightly ticked off at one another upon occasion. But that doesn't mean that the love isn't there. It doesn't mean that the promises you make are no longer something you should hold fast to. When Jesus was asked one day, "What is the greatest commandment in the whole Old Testament?" He said, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." There are times when our whole self should leap out to God in response to the message of his everlasting love in sending his son Jesus Christ into the world to be our Savior, not simply another Moses, not simply another new lawgiver, not somebody whose example that we're called to follow. He is the one who takes the grace of God and makes it incarnate, that makes it word and flesh and blood. So aren't there times in our lives when our hearts are warmed? When we do have that emotional experience, when we know beyond a shadow of a doubt the Lord is with us. That's what those words of the choir sang about today describe. He comes to us as one unknown, a breath unseen, unheard, as though within a heart of stone or shriveled seed in darkness sown, a pulse of being stirred. A pulse of being stirred. You know, that anthem fit really beautifully also with the lessons for today. And that Old Testament lesson today in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10 there, the young boy Samuel is who's in the temple because remember how his mother, to use the word in the Bible, was barren for many years. Oh, how she longed to have a son. She promised God, if you give me a son, I'm going to devote his whole life to being a professional church worker. And when he was two or three years old, she dropped him off at the temple. And that's what Samuel was. And one night when he was sleeping in the sanctuary next to the Ark of the Covenant, the place where God was above all thought to be present, of course, in that Ark of the Covenant, he hears the call, Samuel, Samuel. And immediately he thinks it must be Eli. You know, as I studied that Old Testament lesson today, I remembered how blessed we were to have my mother-in-law live with us in our house for the last 4 years. And it wasn't until the last year there were times when she was in physical distress or had a need, and she would call out, Lisa, Lisa. And because Lisa, much more sound sleeper than I am, you know, I would go downstairs. I would step into the room and say, Lois, what do you need? Not you. She'd lovingly say to me. And that's when I'd go back upstairs and I'd call, Lisa! Lisa. The call of God comes out to us at times. God was calling. He jumped out of bed and in his bare feet probably walked across that cold stone floor. And there he is. He wakes up, Eli. Did you call me? Nope, it wasn't me. The same thing happens two more times, and upon the third time, you remember, it must have been then that the Spirit certainly spoke to Eli's heart and mind. I'll tell you what's happening. It's that the Lord is trying to get your attention. He has something that he wants you to do. And so the next time you hear the call, Samuel, Samuel, say, speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. You know, I won't tell you what the message was, but I'll tell you that it was a very significant message that God did share with Samuel. It was a message of great importance that the words that follow tell Samuel that he would be used by God to lead his people through one of the most critical periods in all of Israel's history, and how that transition would be from a tribal league into a monarchy. Samuel would end up anointing Saul and then later King David as king, the first two kings of Israel. Samuel was the last and the best of the judges, as well as the first of the order of prophets. He established the pattern of the prophet as the one who offered critique and censor of the king. The word of God was given to Samuel, and he prayed, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I love how the writer of Hebrews says, you know, in many and various ways God spoke to our fathers of old. There were times when God spoke to Joseph in a dream. There were times when even God, I believe, speaks through Balaam's donkey to him. But listen, the writer of Hebrews says in these last and days, God has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed to be the heir of all things. For which of the angels, to the angels, did he ever say, you're my son, today I have begotten you? And the wonderful thing about this gospel is that it has the power to bring us to faith. God says, the scriptures are my words. Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify to me. And yet the call of God also comes from the Psalms that's repeated in Hebrews. Today, if by chance you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts against the word of God, as your fathers did in ancient Israel in the days of their rebellion. Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God made flesh, the one who speaks the all-powerful Word of God and goes to Andrew and says, follow me, and Andrew follows him, and he goes to Peter, Andrew does, we found the Messiah. You know, we do know that some of these disciples were originally John the Baptist's disciple. They had heard him preaching over and over again that the day was coming when one who is greater than I will appear among you, whose shoestrings I'm not even worthy to untie. You know, best I can do is simply to baptize you with water, but when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And what a celebration it was on that first Pentecost Sunday. They were brought to faith in Christ. And they did see the angels of God descending, didn't they? At the hour of Jesus' resurrection, the angels were there. And when he rose from the dead, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, after Jesus is welcomed into heaven, the angels say to the disciples, why are you standing here? Get busy with the mission of the church. Actually, you need to go back to Jerusalem and wait there a while till the Holy Spirit is poured out upon you. Don't we give thanks to God Almighty today that we can say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. No one's to be excluded, to the Jews first, but also to us Gentiles. One of the ways you know that you have the faith is the joy that you have as you witness others coming to Christ and Christ ministering and changing the lives of people day by day. It's a song we did used to sing in college, Lutheran College, when I was there. It only takes a spark to get a fire blowing, and then all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, it's fresh like spring. It makes you sing. You want to pass it on. He comes to us indeed as one unknown, that we might know him, that we might know him as our good shepherd who says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.